as there's a couple of visitors as well, our heart is, you know, just to facilitate and make sure that we connect with the Lord and His presence. And we know that it looks a million times different for a million people. As long as it's founded upon and within scripture range, which sometimes can be quite wide as well. And it's by the Holy Spirit. That is our heart. And so our heart is that people encounter the Lord. Because I've only been changed, and again changed thereafter, once I've and as God encounters me. They're at my lowest, weakest, chachaste plek, as He just comes and encounters me. And so we, in our heart, is that we can just encounter the Lord in whatever form, shape, form, or size that do happen. But if you've got any questions, you're more than welcome to ask me. And if ever you are here, please don't feel that you have to worship like anybody else. We don't want to have a subculture where I need to do what my bierman is doing. God's got a way of speaking to us. Just as my marriage with Edna and our communication is vastly different maybe than Stephen and Demi, our intimacy differs from them. Find that way in which the Lord speaks to you and you speak to Him. Founded upon and rested in the Word of God and in good fellowship and accountability, I want to encourage you to do that this year. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word this morning. Thank you that you will break open whatever is needed. Thank you that the ears that need to hear this message will. The hearts that need to see and perceive will. And thank you, Father, that you give us discernment. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your spirit and power. Thank you that you empower us to say no to the stuff out there and yes to your truth and your fullness. Thank you that you grant us a grace to lay down our lives, to lose our lives, to find it. May we all be a people and our children be a people that have found life, for they were willing to lose their lives. In Jesus' name. Amen. Can I get an amen to that? It's an easy task to do. Let's quickly jump into it. The Lord said to us prophetically for this year, just very simply, Jesus is enough. And so it founded upon John 6, that He is the bread of life. And He said, as you know, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you can't have a part of me. We don't want to freak people out, but we also want to just get back to the basics and simplicity of the gospel and even our own hearts to ask, is Christ enough for me? We know He's enough. But am I living a gospel-type lifestyle where Christ is enough, or do I need a couple of add-ons? Am I settling for a subculture that is not the bread and not the water? And likewise, may we be a people that if somebody walks into the door, that we can only give Christ. We can only share Christ. We've got kids' coffee for crying out loud. Maybe one day we'll have something better. But the bottom line is are we living Christ and are we getting the bread of life and are we sharing that? We're sharing the raw presence of the Lord and not some other subculture. And that's just what the thing that the Lord is convicting me. Am I there? No, I'm not. I'm being challenged and chiseled and pruned by the Word of God and by His Spirit daily. And yeah, it's been such a joy. Why are we doing this? Why do we believe the Lord is saying this? Because in September last year, when Liana brought that word that this church has been called to be kingsmen redeemers, we had to ask ourselves, do we care about those in need? Do we care about those that are lost? Do we understand what it is to be part of an agency of redemption of the Lord? And if we should be agents of change in other people's lives, and if we say, yes, we do care because the Lord has gripped our hearts and He's anointed and He's called us, what are we going to give? What are we going to share? What am I going to share to somebody in my family? What am I going to share to my neighbor? What am I going to share? And we realized, and as we chiseled that through at the end of last year, unless we've got Zoe life, we've got nothing to give. I don't want to give anybody a bit of a retief. It's not going to last long. You can ask my wife, she'll be very honest. When I give out of my psyche, out of my personality, out of my flesh, it reaps nothing. But yet when I'm in the Lord and I'm full of the Lord and then I share stuff with God, then I'm full of that. When I'm like a well in my home, it's a totally different ballgame. Am I always a well at my home, love? No, not at all. She gave a nice churchy smile. No, we're not always wells and we're not always well. But we know that the Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, the one that is Zoe life, lives inside of us. And so, Lord, we want to partner with that. Not a bunch of other stuff. Christ is enough. His Spirit and Zoe life is enough. Because we can get all deep and poetic on people, and we can get very jazzy and bluesy on people and grip them and give them something, but it's not Zoe life. It's not eternal life. What is Zoe life? It's a God kind of life. Go listen to the sermons of last year. And so at the beginning of this year, before we run off and go be kingsmen, redeemers, and fishers of men, and go share Zoe life, I was just challenged before the first sermon of this year that I've got nothing to give. I was in a bit of a binari. And so I went to Vida, as I explained in the first service, and I just waited, and I just realized, Lord, I can conjure up some sort of sermon and run with it off the cuff. But I realized that's not enough. I need to encounter you. And so the Lord just came and He just encountered me in a whack way. And I just realized again, this is what I live for. I want to be in love with Christ. I want Him to be my first love, and I need to meet with Him. Not just chat about Him, talk about Him, understand Him, and have a little bit, a fair bit of knowledge about Him. I need to meet with a person. And so He met with me in Vida, and out of that, boof, faith was born. And out of that, I just realized, hey, the same should be applicable to us. When people walk in, will they realize, man, they've actually been with Jesus? No, life is not easy, Demi, as she's rightly said. But at least you've stopped and you've said, I want to encounter you. I want to touch the hem of your garment. And may it be seen by others. I don't have to go touch His garment to be seen. I need to be touching His garment because I need to touch His garment. Because I need to live. And so I said, when we move this year, don't move without an encounter. If you're going to go do it to kids' church, please come and do kids' church. Don't come and do it without an encounter. If you're going to come lead worship, please do. It's open to you. If you can do three chords, if Pietro is happy, he's got a high standard, praise God. You're welcome. But don't move without an encounter. Don't move without an encounter. Don't move without connection. And don't move without relationship. It's so easy to have a sterile type of religion. Most of you, if you've been saved for a couple of years, you can fake it. You can just honestly fake it. More a brother, more a sister. You know my jokes. And yet there's a place where you say, Lord, no, not in a good space, but if I encounter you, if you encounter me, if you just fill up my innermost being, if that living water starts bubbling over again, I've got a cup to give. Then I've got something to give. I've got some bread. I've got some water. And so the first thing He said to me in that encounter was, and that's not applicable to the theme, but I believe in general for His people and test this word. I believe it's a season of resurrections. There's been a lot of that Demi had shared. Not in this church, not in this area, but we listen to lots of people. Somebody called in from Hammersbury called 2018 2019. Like it was a bit of a dark year for them. And so some people went through like a tough stage. And I believe in some people's lives, it feels like some stuff has died. Either promises, relationships, just things in your heart has died. But in that 3 days between the grave, we looked at Luke 24, between the grave and the resurrection, the Emmaus disciples were walking, and guess what? Christ came alongside them. They didn't realize what was happening, and only later on they realized, weren't our hearts ablaze as He opened up the Scriptures to us? Het ons nie gebrand nie. Het ons met hom connected nie. And that's my heart. That's my heart. Don't have to be perfect. Don't have to be all churchy and all. You don't even have to wear a tie. But can we have this, that we will not settle unless we connect, and it can be said, weren't our hearts on fire? Do you remember 2019? Man, was it gebrand. By the grace of God. We had nothing to give. Guys, I can tell you all details of how I know that I am not as all sorted out as I thought I was. But in that place, I can just lay down my life again and say, God, no man is good but You. Please come and encounter me. Come and set my heart ablaze. And come and burn through me. And so we wrapped that up. The week thereafter, we said, second leg of that is, likewise, let's have Mary moments. Mary and Martha, Mary chose to sit at His feet, and Christ said to to Martha. The Lord answered, Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things. Who of you in this culture, starting a new year, is not upset about many things? It's awfully quiet. But one thing is necessary. Hey, here's the good news. One thing is necessary. It's difficult. Mariette, that friend of ours, would tell you, my Tordyke, I can't compute this. One thing is necessary. And it's not just a nice idea, but one thing is necessary. Mary has made the right choice and it will not be taken away from her. Are you willing to sit and wait at his feet? Are you willing to move from his feet? Are you willing to move from his feet? For at his feet, I believe there's a joy that returns. Peace comes, perspective comes, faith comes. Survival for me is first connecting and sitting at his feet and moving from there. The kingdom economics looks totally different than this world. Totally different. And encounters leads to faith. And that faith leads to power, boldness, and courage. We ended off last week by saying, now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. In other words, may this world not define us. May this world, not in an arrogant, bogarele type of way. That's arrogance, that's pride, that's not the heart. But in a humble way, may this world not define us. May our stuff not define us. May our worldly cultural things not define us, but just the mere fact that something's different about Demi. Demi has been through rough stuff, but I just see she's been with Jesus. And may that be true for us. Today we're just going to move on. It's a third point, and it's very much the same, but I believe it's one that the Lord is challenging me with and yourself. The first point there is found upon. Now, Mary's economics, I said last week, is very simply this. She had a choice. Am I going to run with Martha? Am I going to look like the modern culture for us? Am I going to worry and fear and fret about everything? Or am I going to choose the one thing first, and then from that place of encounter, from that place of relationship, I'm going to move? And she chose that. But not only that, we see that she follows him all around. And at the end of the day, she's also the Mary that takes the alabaster jar, pours all of that fragrant nard or oil, ointment over his feet, and then cleans that up with her hair. Now that's kingdom economics. Judas there gets like all mad and makes as if he worries about the poor, saying, well, that could have been used better. The religious thing just standing up. But she knew something. Something was different. It's almost like Mary and Joseph looking for Jesus when he was a mere, almost teenager, around teenage age. First words that's written and read in my Bible, at least, they rock up after they've been looking for him for 3 days, like, "Waar was jy?" Ek sal jy nie oorgryp nie, but I would just think what my dad would have done. My mom had a clear borsel. I don't know what that is in English. But man, that hurt. I would have gotten a goeie dragslag. I would have gotten a big hiding if I got lost for 3 days. Yet he turns right and he says in most translations, "Don't you know I am about my father's business?" Like, what's up with this? Freaking out. I was busy with my father's business. They're like, huh? Tordek moment. Certainly. Kingdom economics looks different than what we have on this earth. The way in which the Lord calls us, he calls you. Who's ever been called into obedience and it's just weird for the culture around you? If you've never had that situation, we're going to do an altar call at the end, because then you're certainly not saved. That's not a grappie. Please don't get offended. Kingdom economics looks different. He says to the rich young ruler, yes, 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 you've done all of that. You want to be perfect. Hey, sell everything, give it to the poor and follow me. It's like, oh, that economics is a bit weird for me. And so he's calling us into those spaces. But what are we found upon? Mary was found upon that revelation. I believe as Martha might be evident of the flesh, definitely Mary was evident of the spirit. And so she had a way of sowing her life. She had a way of building and trusting Christ. She knew Matthew 6:33 that says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given unto you." Amen? So she had a different way. Now the question is, how are you building in 2009? What are you building on? How are you building anything? What is the focus? What is the primary focus for you? Don't give the nice church your answers yet. What is your goal? What goals I see on social media? I love it. Smashed my goal. PB, I had a bit of a tongue-in-cheek moment yesterday. I had to look after kids, but whilst everybody is riding on their bicycles and doing treadmills and trail runs and stuff and doing PBs, and I'm like, well, I've got a PB. I took 3 girls for coffee. I only lost my cool twice. And so, what is the goals? What is the personal best that you're setting for yourself this year? What is it? And then we're going to get, what is it found upon? What is it? I want to get rich. Who's got that? Okay, cool. Praise the Here, broer, is eerlijk. Maybe there's more of us that feel like it. I wouldn't mind if the Lord blesses me, but it needs to come from Him. Likewise for you. But thank you for your honesty. Anything else? What are you planning for the year? Peace. Edna's goal is peace. That's nice. World peace of net vrede? Peace. Okay, not going that big this year. Anything? What are you building on? Everybody's got a plan. You're just very nice and you don't want to say what it is. New job. But I know in your case, that's definitely a godly option. Anything else? You're willing to share? To get close to Jesus. Okay, we can get to the churchy answers now, but that's amazing. Exactly that. And I know Dawn, and I know that's honestly her heart. But it's so easy to get sucked into getting goals and getting stuff sorted out and doing things the way the world does it, but yet Mary calls us into a different type of economics. Let's move to Scripture. I think you know where we're going. There's 2 foundations to life. Do you know that? Very, very simple story, but yet a very profound story that we need to take heart. Because daily, like Mary and Martha, we need to make decisions. Let's read Matthew 7, 24 to 27. The 2 foundations. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like a sensible man, a wise man, who builds his house on the rock. The rain fell, the rivers rose, and the winds blew and pounded the house. Yet, it didn't collapse, because its foundation was on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and doesn't act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, and the rivers rose, and the winds blew and pounded that house, and it collapsed. And its collapse was great. The message, I just had a look at that. Let's quickly read it because I love a bit of meat that they put to it. These words I speak to you are not incidental additions to your life. Homeowner improvements. I like that. Who's done renovations to their home? Okay. This is not renovations. Okay. It's not a new coat of paint. Often people get saved that they come to us and we're counseling. We're going to work through these things and you get the sense. They think God's going to do tiles. He's not going to do tiles. He's going to take out walls. He's going to rip up foundations. In fact, sometimes he just flattens the house and he builds a new thing. That's exactly what he did in my life. Currently, he's still busy again. It's obviously something that he didn't do earlier, but he's still busy. And so sometimes we think, ach, nieuwe gordijnen, blackout lining, what's this, American shutters, let's be all cool. Here it's just, no, no, no. It's not going to be a window there. You don't have a roof on. We're going to do some major renovations. They are foundational words, words to build a life on. If you work these words into your life, I love that sentence. If you work these words into your life, you are like a smart carpenter who built his house on a solid rock. Rain poured down, the river flooded, and the tornado hit, but nothing moved that house. It was fixed to the rock. But if you just use my words in Bible studies and don't work them into your life, in other words, if you just say, Amen, broer, preach it, Retief, and you move out of here, but you don't work it into your life, if you just get this cute memes, who likes cute memes with scripture on? I love them. They're good sometimes. Why are you laughing, Demi? A nice scripture with a background. It does the world a good. But if you only send these things on, yet do not work them into your life. He says this is unfortunately the problem. You are like a stupid carpenter it's a bit of a strong word there, who built his house on the sandy beach. When the storm rolled in and the waves came, it collapsed like a house of cards. We're going to look at four things that we're just going to quickly take out of that. Therefore, you can just leave it up there. We're going to go to these words of mine. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine, say words of mine. Please say it again. Words of mine. Okay, awesome. So you know. For everybody who hears these words of mine. Now, what are they? I think it's up there already. But what words are Jesus referring to here? This is at the end of Matthew 7. What is Matthew 5, 6, and 7? Sermon on the Mount. Who's ever read that? We're going to do an altar call. Be careful. Everybody's read that. Come on. That is the most juiciest, best sermon ever. It just hits you. In preparation, obviously, I just read through it again. And it just cuts deep. Who's ever read through the Sermon on the Mount? It's not cut deep in one of their areas. But it's just brilliant. I think if you should take a couple of years and just study that, you'll definitely see some miraculous things in your life happen. Now, these words of mine, he refers back to the Sermon on the Mount. He rocked up, preached to a whole bunch of people. We can't go into details now. We will still do so. And he spoke to them and he preached to them these amazing things. Now, if you go look at the topics, anxiety, hypocrisy, fear, mammon, adultery, idolatry, it's a whole range of things that he touches on, and he gives very precise murder, what murder is, what adultery is, etc. And it's just beautiful how he gets to it. But God Questions gave me a nice definition. I like that. Just summarizing what the Sermon on the Mount is: how to live a life that is dedicated to and pleasing to God, free from hypocrisy, full of love and grace, full of wisdom and discernment. I would say that's a nice goal or value or vision to have for your year, isn't it? I would love that. I would like to know how to live a life that is dedicated to and pleasing to God, free from hypocrisy, full of love and grace, full of wisdom and discernment. And that is the words of Jesus. So he says, all at the end of Matthew 7, he says, if you hear these words of mine, all of the sermon that I've given you, if you hear these words of mine, we're going to see the rest just now. Now, I believe it speaks of the Sermon on the Mount, but if you go look at the definition there of word, it also speaks of the Logos. Now, Logos, can't go into the detail. We've done this many times. This is the full revelation of Jesus Christ. It's the divine will of God through Christ, which, as a matter of fact, we find in the Word. And we see in John 1, verse 1 to 3, we also see that, obviously. And so he says, well, firstly, the Sermon on the Mount, if you take this to heart and if you use this, you will be like the wise man. But I also want to say, if you take the Logos, the Word, who's been doing the Bible app? There's about 30 of us doing the Bible app with us. I've been blessed. We took Nuki Gumbel's Bible app and we're reading through the Bible in 1 year. And I know many people's got this and that to say about it. But they actually unpack it in such a way that you take it home. You don't just read it to finish it. Now, I've been blessed, even prophetically, very accurately, through some of these messages in these 2 weeks. And so that is taking his words and applying them to your life, or at least hearing them in your life. And I want to encourage you both to go listen to and read through the Sermon on the Mount and to get into the Word. I think we'll be shocked to know how little the Church of Christ these days are getting into the Word of the Lord. And I mean that with no disrespect, but there's, again, so many other stuff in our culture that can so easily draw our attention away. Yet the Lord says, come on, come on, come on. Come on, see my words. Christ the Word, as I said, John 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, referring to Christ. And the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning, and through him all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. Listen closely. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. That sounds kind of foundational to me. And then one thing that really struck me as I was going through the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5 to 7 this weekend or this week, was Hebrews 4. And listen up closely. Let us therefore make every effort not to enter that rest, so that no one will fall by following the same pattern of disobedience. For the word of God is living and active. Say living and active. Say these words of mine. Living and active. Great, I see most of you are awake. Sharper than any double-edged sword and piercing. Say piercing. Yes, it does. It pierces even to dividing soul and spirit. Who's had that feeling where the word of God comes, you read it and it's like, oh, conviction moment. But it's a nice, it's like getting operation that you needed. Who's ever had that? It's like, oh, yeah. It pierces even to the dividing of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Thank you, God, for your living word. Thank you for your living word. I need it every day. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Boom. Whatever your goal is, your PB for the year, your vision, it might be very godly, by the way. I'm not knocking it. It's not hidden to God's sight. My intentions of my heart, my goals, where I want to go and what I actually want to do, it's very clear to God. It's very clear. It only becomes clear to me once I hit a storm. We're going to get to that just now. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and exposed before the eyes of Him to whom we must give account. It's a waste of time to have another foundation. So first thing is, these words of mine. We remind ourselves, we need to get back to these words of mine. The second thing that I see there in Scripture, in Matthew 7, is those that hears. Those that hear. Those that hear these words, and if you go look at the definition in the Greek there, it's a weird word, it's on the board, you can pronounce it yourself, but it's to hear. It's quite cool, eh? The Greek also means to hear. That's a joke. Thank you, Demi. But it also is to understand. That's the word that struck me. So you need to hear and understand. Who before they were born again, read through the Bible and didn't make sense? Okay, well, actually a lot of you, a lot of very honest people around here. But praise God for His Spirit. Because as we know in John 3:3, as He said to Nicodemus, Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." And I would love to just put my own word in there if you give me the grace. No one can hear the kingdom of God unless they are born again. By God's grace, we are born again. We've received the Spirit. So when we do read Scripture, when we get into Matthew 5 to 7, when we go back to these words of mine, we will hear. You are hearers of the word of God. You are hearers, that means understanding as well, of the word of God. And praise God, He's also given us teachers, pastors, prophets, evangelists, people to help. He's given us a body. So whenever, He's given us Google. Thank you, Jesus, for Google, mostly, most of the time. Family safe Google. Thank you, Jesus. Not the other part of Google. It's like Milo, like Sophia would pray. She actually prays for the whole world, and then she excludes certain people. So she just goes back, but no, those people of the devil, Lord. And then I'm like, no, let's pray for them for grace. It's likewise. Thank you for Google, but for some stuff. She's just like, because when you start praying for the family, those that have kids that pray with them, once you start with the family, and then nichis and nephis, and grandparents. And even if some people got divorced along the line, there's extra grandparents and extra kids and extra. It becomes quite a long thing. And then you get hamsters. They get prayed for as well, and a dog. We're trying to give the dog away, so it makes the prayer a bit easier in the evening. But anyway, just make sure. Get a cover all. Coming back to understanding. You are hearers of the word of God. You are hearers of the word of God. That does not mean that it's going to automatically open up that you do it daily as part of your discipline. But I want to say you are a hearer of the Word of God. You've got the Spirit. You've got understanding, the Counselor that will teach you all things with you. And so Like me, we've got no excuse. And then the next word that was quite important, let's read the verse quickly that we can take that home. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine, one, and two, hears, and then three, acts on them. Say, acts on them. Act on them. Yes. That's the easy part, eh? That's the easy part. Thank you, Demi. And acts upon. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like a sensible man. And acts upon them. As I said, it's not just to WhatsApp it. It's not to make a cute meme and post it on Facebook. It's actually to live it. It's actually to let it in, to hear it, to understand it and say, please come and sever my heart. Please come and judge my intentions. Please come and work in me. Because God doesn't only cut. He cuts, He cleans, He replaces, and He heals, and He stitches up. That's how beautiful He does it. He doesn't just cut for cut's sake. Sounds weird, but He cuts, He takes out, He redeems, He stitches up, He empowers. He's a good God. But I need to lie down. I need to heal. I need to say yes to that. In intercession, two words came out. God is wanting to draw people in. Woo them, draw them closer. And sometimes that hurts. For some people, intimacy hurts because of anger, because of hurt. And it's sometimes you've got something that's got stuck and you just struggle to take it out. And when somebody, even God comes close, it's like, ah, enough. And so you much rather just go on like this. But yet sometimes He calls you and say, no, let me take this out. Let me work at that. Let the word come and cut. Let people love on you. So the third thing is acts. James 2:26 says, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Now I don't want to take that out of context, but the bottom line is guys, we can't just be hearers, understanders of the word. We can't have these words of God being the Sermon on the Mount or His logos, full revelation of Christ coming into our lives and yet not act upon it. Amen. And so it takes time, and He's gracious, and His Holy Spirit will help us to act upon it. But if we truly want to be a people that say, Jesus, You're enough. I want to build upon a solid godly foundation. I want kingdom economics, Lord. I want heaven to come to earth, and we can say all these nice things. We need to take this word, take it to heart. Take it, hear it, understand it, and say, Lord, now I'm going to, as the message is, I'm going to apply it to my life. Wat is as jy deegknie? Wat is dit in Engels? Need. It just doesn't sound the same. Nee. Okay. Maar as jy deegknie. So met die woord, you must take the scripture. You must take these truths that speaks to you, that ramas to you in the season that you really need. And say, Lord, come. Kom ons knie dit. It just didn't go well, eh? It didn't, but I think you've got the picture. Kom ons knie dit in die hele, my hele lewe. Let it become a part of my whole life. Let it saturate my whole being. Let me bask in it. Let me lay in it. May Your word just come and speak to my soul. Fourth thing, as you might have thought, thing that stood out for me is the rock. Summary, we said you need to hear these words and act upon it. Who's this rock? I love Isaiah 28:16. It says out of the Old Testament, God prophesying, obviously. See, I lay a stone in Zion, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone for a sure foundation. Who wants to build 2019 upon a sure foundation? Who wants to build the rest of their life upon a sure foundation? It might not be Bitcoin. It might all along have been Jesus. Just putting it out there. It might not be a specialized mountain bike. All of the time, it might have been Jesus. Just putting it out there. In my case, it might not be a flat white. It might just be Jesus. Just putting it out there. Let me read it again so that I don't take away the essence of substance of this beautiful scripture. See, I lay a stone in Zion, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. The one who relies on it will never be stricken with panic. Oh Jesus, I never want to be stricken with panic in this season, in this year. Come and build. the cornerstone that was scoffed and thrown aside by his own people. He says, I will be your bedrock. I want to be your rock. I want to be your sure foundation. These words of mine, hear, understand, act. Kneed it in your liver. And then in Matthew 16, 17, who remembers this? And Jesus responded, Simon, son of Jonah, you are blessed because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you. I'm going to go a bit up just to give better context. It's not on there. Just keep it there if you don't mind. Matthew 16, verse 15. But you, he asked them, speaking to his disciples, this is Jesus at word. Who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. So he has this moment. You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. We might think, oh, what the? But we're living 2019 years after Christ. It is common cause for us. For them, it was quite a biggie. They were waiting, hundreds of years, in fact, for the Messiah to come. It was a big thing. The King is here. Praise the Here. I guess play. And Jesus responded, Simon, son of Jonah, you are blessed because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father in heaven. Revelation moment. He saw the cornerstone that was laid in Zion. And I say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the forces of Hades will not overcome it. Upon this revelation, upon this realization, upon this truth that Christ is Lord, the Messiah, I will lay as a foundation. I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. It's not a man-made thing. It's a God-made thing. Upon that essence truth, Christ is enough, the bedrock and cornerstone. He's enough for you, he's enough for me, and he's enough for his church. I prophesy he is enough for his church. You might think, really, seriously? I know it, because Scripture says, in the gates of Hades, for guess what? There is winds. Guess what? There is rivers. Guess what? There is, what's the other one? Rain that are coming, and that comes against either us and the church. But Christ says, no, 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 I will build. Moving on quickly, verse 19. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth is already bound, and in heaven, and so forth, and so forth. So Christ is the rock. He says, these words of mine, my revelation, if you go look at 1 John, we realize God himself says, I lay myself bare, I am a bedrock. And if you build upon this revelation of who I am, that I am God, and you build from here, you cannot go wrong. But we need to discern, and we need to do and make those decisions daily upon what we're going to build and what we're going to trust. I want to really encourage you this week already. It does not take long. Take your time, though. Go read through Matthew 5, 6, and 7. Let's go read. There is bits and pieces that's going to rhema to you that's applicable in this season. Go and take it and just knead it in your liver. Just make it part of your life. Now quickly, second thing there. There is a test. What is the thing that tests the foundation of my life this year? What tests your life? Trials, yes. The wind, the rain, and the rivers. That's going to test. The funny thing about the scripture, and here, please listen up, is, and unfortunately what I've seen and say about the last 6 months of my life is that you only truly get to know what your foundation is when the storm hits. And that sucks. It's like buying a new car, and your wife's like, honey, does it have the airbags? I'm like, I'm not sure. Honey, does it have airbags? I'm really not sure. Until you get into a massive accident. You're like, no, it doesn't. And I don't have a nose either. Or, best case scenario, yes, it does. Praise God. We've got insurance. Thank you, Chris. But that's kind of what I see in the scripture, is that you don't know the truth of your foundation until the fire really hits. And it's not to provoke fear. It's actually to encourage and say, hey, let's make sure that we build upon the rock. Because this is the key thing here. If you go read there, therefore everyone who hears these words of mine and acts upon them will be like a sensible man who built his house upon the rock. The rain fell, the rivers rose, and the wind blew and pounded that house. It didn't collapse. Guess what happened in verse 27? Very strangely, exactly the same thing. The rain fell, the rivers rose, the winds blew and pounded at that house. And it came down. It's a massive disaster. What am I seeing here? Is that I'm seeing, what is it, John 16:33, that says, in this life I will give you peace, but take heart. Well, in this life you will suffer, but take heart, I have overcome. Some translation says suffering, some says pressure. But in this life, you will have pressure. In this life, albeit if you're a believer or an unbeliever, the wind is going to come, the rain is going to come, and the rivers are going to rise. Albeit if you're a sensible or unsensible person, albeit you're a wise or an unwise person, albeit if you build on the rock or you build on the sand, unfortunately, this is quite true, that the rain will come, the rivers will rise, and the wind, or the tornado, as the Message puts it, the tornado will come. But I want a house that will stand, that says Christ is enough. I don't want to build upon it the things of this culture. I want to build upon the revelation of Christ, and not only just, yeah, he says, but knowing him, encountering him, walking with him, taking his word and saying, Lord, this in Matthew 6, I'm actually not doing. Matthew 6, it took me 5 years of my life in Malmesbury, of which 3.5 was without income, for Matthew 6 to hit home. Do not worry about tomorrow, for it will worry about itself. Now, if you've got two kids, it's the 15th of the month, neither your wife or you are working, you've got 100 rand. It's a really good time to open up the Bible and to make Matthew 6 part of your life. Do not be anxious. Look what I do to the flowers and the fields. Matthew 6 became so true to me. So if you say yes to this word, and if you listen to these words of mine, of Jesus, and you say, yes, I want to put it into my life, I want it. It might be a process. In fact, it might not be a process. It will be a process. But beautifully so, when the winds, financial winds, and the financial rains, and the financial rivers come to my home now, it's not easy, but it's much better. For there's a rocky foundation in this area of my life. There's other areas that I've recently noticed that it's a bit sandy. And so now I need to get back to the Word and say, Christ, come and work this into my life. Come, I want to act upon this. I want to act upon this. For I don't want to act upon it or try to act upon it once the test hit. I don't want to find out that I don't have airbags when I get into the... And in Jesus' name, nobody's got to get into a crash. I don't believe that's... Please hear my heart. Very hypothetical example. But I don't want to find that out. You know what I just wrote down here is that many of us have become really good DIY experts. Who is good at DIY? Albert is like brilliant. DIY, do it yourself. Demi is like smiling and looking all starry-eyed at Stephen. Apparently, he can use a hammer. He can tell. Yeah. I'm not going to make any jokes about tiling now. Anyway, moving swiftly on. But some of us have become really good experts at DIY. Do it yourself. And so we'll come to church and say, yo, amen, amen, amen. And yet when we get home, we're just going to DIY through the week. And we're going to get to small group, maybe, maybe. And we're going to get to next Sunday. And then we're just going to wing it and DIY it, do it ourselves through the week. And yet when the storms of life hit, unfortunately, and I'm not knocking DIY, by the way, Albert is a legend. So, anyway, if you need anybody to help you with anything like, he is the best. But if you want to do this emotionally, spiritually in your life, you're going to run into winds, you're going to run into rains, you're going to run into rivers, you're going to run into trouble. Unless you've been doing it with the real carpenter, Jesus Christ. Don't wait for the test. Don't wait for the test. And lastly, will you stand with me, please? I remember I've told this testimony once. This scripture means so much to me. And it's just about building this year. And I want to encourage you not to DIY on the Lord, but to build with Him. For Christ is the cornerstone and God, the master builder. And we want to build with Him stuff that can stand the tests and the storms of time. But in 2000 and about 8 or so, we were in that season where we're living by faith. We still do, by the way. Even though we do get a salary, we still do live by faith. In that time, I remember that year it was my birthday, and I had a major meeting that day about our future, just in moving to Pretoria for ministry. And I just sensed we shouldn't go. Even though we need it, we needed money, we needed salary, we needed to live type of thing, as the world would tell you. The rocky thing for me was to say no and to stand and to wait upon the Lord. And I had to go to that meeting on my birthday. And my wife didn't have money to give me a gift, but she gave me a verse. It was probably the best gift that she's ever given me in my life. For it spoke into my season. It spoke into my meeting. It spoke into the difficult call I had to make in that time to say no to this call, because I'd sense it was not the Lord. We should wait. Even though it made so much sense in the natural, it was not to build on a rock for us. Not for everybody. Please don't say no to the job that's for the Lord. We had to say no that day. So it was quite a bizarre situation. And her love language is gifts, by the way. Edna's love language is gifts, by the way. Just putting it out there. Plezier lief. But she couldn't afford to give me anything, but she gave me the scripture that just changed my life and really gave me a rhema faith that day for that situation. It was the following, and I want to leave it with you. I want us to be such a people. May we be such a people. Unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand watch in vain. In vain you rise up early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, to make a living, to survive. For he grants sleep to those he loves. And so in a situation, in a season, which if you define it and explain it to somebody else, seems quite bizarre or uncomfortable, to put it mildly, God says, no, I am building. You can come and hide under me. I'm the master builder. Here you are upon the cornerstone. Stick to that. It doesn't make sense to the world. It will not make sense to the culture. But I'm building. Come and build with me. I want to encourage us as a people. Build with him, on him, and for him. Build with him, on him, and for him. Let's close our eyes. Lord, we don't want to do anything in vanity or in vain. I should rather say this year, Father. So we lay down our lives, we lay down our plans, our goals, and our personal bests. And we say, Christ, please come and test before the tests come. Please come and give discernment so that we can clearly see, what am I building upon? Am I building upon the wisdom or the lack of wisdom of the tree of knowledge of good and evil? Am I building upon a system of this world and upon fear, lust and greed even, Lord? Why am I building upon on Jesus Christ, the one that has laid down his life for me, the one that I wholeheartedly want to follow? So in this moment, Holy Spirit, thank you that you are not a condemner, you're a convictor. Hallelujah. And with conviction always comes empowerment and a way out. You don't leave us to our own devices. And so as you, Holy Spirit, come and convict this morning of areas maybe where there's cracks, areas may we be finding ourselves on a sandy patch. Please come and bring us back to the rock, the bedrock of and foundation that is Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray for a grace over us as a people to get into your word and to make it ours. I pray for the sword to come and test just the heart and agendas and plans of us as a people, starting with me and my house. Come just with your sword. Because as you come and cut away, you also empower and you bring freedom, true freedom. We just thank you for that, Father. And Lord, if any of us are maybe DIY experts, Lord, we pray that we can lay that down. Why not come and partner with the carpenter of all carpenters? Why not let him? Why not come and just hang with the cornerstone and say, please show me? Why not come and sit with the Father who's the master builder and say, please? Please. Just in, if any of those things have spoken to you, or just maybe raise your hand, just in a moment to say, Christ, I want a life just upon you, and I want you to lead me through the process. It's just not a quick prayer that's going to fix all, it's just not a quick download, it's a lifelong thing, it's a daily thing, and it's a million small decisions that we need to make with the Holy Spirit. But I just want to you to raise your hand and say, Christ, I want to partner with you. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for these hands. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are the Spirit of Christ. And Christ is the rock, the bedrock, the foundation. And so, Holy Spirit, will you come daily and speak into my life? Will you speak into moments? Will you help me to make the right decisions, to think kingdom economics and not that of the world, and to build upon a rock? Holy Spirit, will you anoint me to read the word, these words of God, to hear it, to understand it, to take it in, and then to act upon it, to work it into my life? Will you give me people, will you give us people around us that can help us with that? And if there's stuff and areas of my life that is caught upon the patchiness of the sandy ground, forgive me. Forgive me. And please may it be founded upon a rock in Jesus' name. We thank you for that, Lord. Amen. Julle moet 'n lekker Sondagmiddag hê. Sien julle almal 4:00 by Touchies.